Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you have been having any kind of, I know there's been some weather issues, troposphere, all that stuff, interfering with our FM signals, 95.3 and 92.3. If you listen on AM 1620, that's usually not going to be a problem at all. It's much better in that regard. Also online, you know, you can listen on the app at News Radio Pensacola or at 92.3. Newsradio923.com, any of those sources, lots of alternatives for you, or on HD 98.7 HD3. Julio Diaz is the host of the Let's Go Pensacola program, 4 o'clock on Saturdays, and also the Pensacola Movie Club. They get together, they watch movies, and they talk about them. You can follow them on Facebook and find out what they're watching next. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. You were so close. You almost got every single way to listen. You forgot the podcast.
Oh, you're right. Time shifting. I so forgot about it. No, but you're exactly right. So thanks for the reminder. That's perfect. this week, you guys watch what? Final Destination, Bloodlines, which is, did we ever figure out how many this is for Final Destination?
I believe the sixth one.
Okay. Oh, well, that's not that many, really.
And I will be honest with you. This is a series that, while I'm superficially familiar with, like we all are, hadn't really watched any of them. And I was really kind of like, do I want to see this? And then the reviews started coming out, and this is sitting at 93 on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, I got to go see this for myself. And this movie it's hugely entertaining. I mean, I can't speak for the other films in the series, but, it does what it says on the tin. There's a premonition of death, person avoids death, and then death starts coming after people. In this case, this is somebody that stopped a disaster from happening in the late 60s, and it's taken death so long to catch up with everybody that's involved in that a lot of these people have had families, so it's coming after whole families.
Well, death is underfunded and is now getting doged into lower staffing, so obviously it takes a minute for death to catch up with the needs, right?
If you want to make an Elon joke, go for it.
So very entertaining, much better than expected, well worth seeing, in terms of what you would expect.
Yeah, we're down to the last family that's surviving, and we also get an origin for this character that has been a constant through these movies, played by the late, great Tony Todd. This is his last on-screen appearance in this. It's such a good appearance. It literally brought tears to my eyes just thinking, the way they, the role they gave him, it's a perfect cinematic goodbye. Like, this is what you'd use in the In Memoriam clip. You'd use this clip. But, we actually had not only him, but a couple other past Pensacon guests in this movie as well. Anna Lore and Richard Harmon both in this as well. And it's funny because I hadn't actually seen them in anything before, and I spent the whole movie thinking, God, where do I know these people from?
as one of the key Pensacon people, that's funny. I love it.
Yeah, I know them in real life.
Right, exactly. You met them in real life before you met them on the film. That's very cool. Hurry Up Tomorrow is another one that's out today.
I was a little bit intrigued by this. This stars The Weeknd, the music artist The Weeknd.
Oh, okay.
And he's playing himself in this, and it is basically a musical album movie. This is tied to his new album release. And he is pursued by this mysterious stranger who shakes up his life, played by Jenna Ortega. There's some kind of mystical thing going on here. Not great reviews here. They finally released reviews like late yesterday, and running like 16% on Rotten Tomatoes, I think it was last time I checked.
So this is not Purple Rain 2. Okay, I got it.
There are a couple of reviews that are absolute raves on this, and then there are a couple that are just absolute, this is the worst thing ever. So it's just a very divisive film. I'm going to say something sacrilegious there. You said Purple Rain 2. When's the last time you watched Purple Rain?
No, it's been a long time.
So great performances. Absolutely a movie worth seeing. The only two people in the movie that can act are Morris and Jerome from Time.
You're not wrong about that. Moving on, The Ruse is also out today, right?
Yeah, this is kind of a middling thriller about an aging woman living by herself and her caretaker. I do have a friend that saw this last night and basically said this would be fine on like a lower tier streamer or like a Sunday afternoon basic cable kind of movie.
Got it.
There's no reason that this needed to be theatrically released, and the conclusion is just completely laughable.
Simple. What are you guys going to watch next week?
I'm not sure yet, but as soon as we know, we will be checking that out on the Facebook page on Pensacola Movie Club. I can talk, really. I can.
Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Follow them there. Also, Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock tomorrow here on News Radio. He talks about all kinds of different things, arts, culture, whatever's happening, whatever's interesting to him. Julio Diaz, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Thanks.
And don't drive behind any lumber trucks.
Yeah, definitely not.
John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are all flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service why the Taliban and Woke Andrew both cancel chess.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list? I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers. On the News Radio Garden Line, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is more of a multi-point update on terminology. With so many words and labels being in flux, we thought it might be worth taking a moment to give the official guidance from the 15th International Conclave on Linguistic Virtue, as they've made some recent pronouncements on matters of faith, morals, and vocabulary. First, we've decided to honor the unbranding reversion of Max to its former title of HBO Max. Generally speaking, we don't like to see old names brought forth again because it creates the idea that dead names can be resurrected and then we have to deal with the possibility of undead naming things, which is bad. But since generally speaking, name changes are so vital to fostering a deep and anxious uncertainty about what to call anything, that the Conclave has allowed this particular reversion. Besides, if we can't call it Skinemax, at least we can call it HBO Max, like in the almost good old days. Second, with the announcement by President Bleep, we are complying with his directive to now refer to the Gulf of Persia as the Gulf of Arabia. Again, change is good, and instability in the nomenclature is to be celebrated. Besides, Persia doesn't exist anymore, and calling it the Gulf of Iran will only raise questions about whether it's Iran, Iran, or Iran. Better to just say Gulf of Arabia, as the military has already been doing for several years. Third, yet another contribution by he whose name must not be spoken was the threat to rebrand Veterans Day as Victory in World War I Day. Since it didn't happen, we'll just move on. But the indescribably orange one did change Victory in Europe Day, VE Day, to Victory Day for World War II. What we love about this is that it forces the Red Hat people to choose between honoring their leader's wishes or honoring the historical truth that World War II didn't end until Japan surrendered several months after VE Day. Do they accept what their leader says, or do they hang onto a contrary and inconvenient historical fact? Naturally, we celebrate anything that untethers people and their language from the truth. As more official guidance is given, we will eagerly share it with all the other in present. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, CNN's Jake Tapper, whose forthcoming book, Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again, details the cognitive decline of the 46th President of the United States and the extensive efforts to hide the deterioration and shelter Corn Pop's best friend from public scrutiny. Of course, what makes this betrayal so painful is that Tapper himself was one of the key participants in the charade of ignoring President Backrub's faltering mental acuity. He, along with so many other members of the media, systematically ignored the questions raised by Biden's behavior, speech patterns, and physical mishaps, and actively gaslit the millions of Americans who saw these things with their own eyes. Trip up the stairs to Air Force One? It's just wind. Or slippery steps. Fall on a bicycle? How dare you criticize the elderly. Fail to recognize George Clooney at a fundraiser? It was probably just too dark to see. Perform abysmally in a presidential debate? Trust us, he's an intellectual wizard in private. Don't believe your lying eyes. They had all the answers, and the fib was holding. And that's what's so baffling about this. Why now? It's over. The lie worked. There was no need to admit the truth. It was a flawlessly executed propaganda campaign. And with the ear whisperer-in-chief gone forever from the public eye, the hard part was over. We could have retired the issue and let the critics say whatever they wanted without ever giving them the satisfaction of confirming the allegations. No, Jake Tapper, this was the story you should never have told. Republicans will hate you for participating in the cover-up. Democrats will hate you for failing to keep participating in it. This is a lose-lose for you, sir. And how can we count on you ever again to do our bidding, sell our narrative, and work to advance the cause of wokeism alongside your fellow CNN comrades? Terrible choice. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our third remembrance is for the game of chess. This week, the government of Afghanistan announced a complete ban on playing chess because it is considered a means of gambling. And the Taliban will be performing a thorough evaluation to determine whether playing chess is compatible with Islamic law or not. Of course, Islam has a long-standing problem with chess, the earliest ruling against which took place in 655 AD when Islam was less than 50 years old. Catholicism also has banned chess until as recently as the 13th century. Now, obviously, whether the Taliban or the Catholics are against chess is not all that important for us. But this action by the rabble from Kabul has forced us to evaluate the game on our terms, and we've found it wanting. However, we were surprised the Taliban was against it for reasons that will become clear. Obviously, the thing the Taliban would hate the most about chess is that the most powerful piece on the board is a woman, the queen. We, of course, cherish that. Moreover, the king, by comparison, is a total wuss who can barely even defend himself. And the truth of this insult to men everywhere almost made us want to keep the game. However, at second glance, the game reveals itself, in fact, as full-blown tool of the patriarchy. The only piece on the board which matters is the king, a man. The very life of every other piece is completely subservient to the only goal of keeping the king alive, including the highly powerful queen whose only reason for existing is to protect him. This alone justifies canceling the game. But then we thought about the racial message of the game. White pieces battling black pieces to the death, a fitting model for a world in which race is the most important defining characteristic of both the participants and the playing surface. We figure the Taliban doesn't care much because neither black nor white really represents them, but nobody loves a good race war like we do. Obviously, both we and the Taliban find the Christian imagery of the pieces troubling. The king is always identified with a cross. The bishop is obviously a reminder of the power of Christendom. And even the knight, squirrely movement and all, is just an anachronistic memorial for that strangest of medieval traditions, chivalry. Perhaps the Taliban would have been more amenable if the king had a crescent moon, or if the bishops were imams, or if the knight were driving an Isuzu trooper. Then there's the peasant pawns dying for their wealthy overlords across a massive rich-poor gap. The gentrification of the first row versus the second row in chess is a potent symbolic picture of the class struggle between the proletariat and the bourgeoisie, which every society experiences until the Hegelian dialectic forces them to evolve into the perfect socialist utopia, as in not a feudal monarchy. We were actually surprised that the Taliban didn't embrace the game simply for being a visual jihad of one side against the other, waging a bloody war of sacrifice and dominion for the ultimate prize of paradise with 70 undefiled pieces. Think of how frequently in chess, the pieces suffer martyrdom for the Holy War. Suicide pawns routinely rush into crowded spaces like S-vest-wearing martyrs with nothing more in mind than to sacrifice themselves for their king. We actually thought the Taliban might make this their national game. But apparently, there's not enough explosions for them. Plus, the queen doesn't wear a burqa, and I suppose we recognize that the Taliban doesn't want symbolic imagery violence games taking away from two actual national pastimes, throwing stones at infidels and preventing girls from learning how to read. But in the end, for us, it came down to a simple matter of metaphorical sexual oppression. Even though we like the idea that pieces identified pawn at birth might eventually undergo gender-affirming care and be promoted into the queens they believe themselves to be, this one representation of aspirational transgenderism was not enough to rescue chess from its hopelessly heteronormative nature. One man and one woman united in a common monogamous cause? This game might as well have been designed by the Heritage Foundation. Why can't there be two kings? Or two queens? Or three queens, two kings, a bishop, and a rook? That just sounds like an average Wednesday at P. Diddy's house. Even without the baby oil. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Is it weird that I'm most proud of the identified pawn at birth? Wanting to become the queens they always meant to be. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
I'm
John.
Still stuck on the P. Diddy line. Baby oil.
I know. You throw a little baby oil in at the end and the whole thing changes. Can't even remember what the first transgression was.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, it's almost like that's the only thing anybody's going to remember. It's the baby oil. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a federal judge in New Mexico is dismissing charges against dozens of migrants that were arrested entering a U.S. military zone created by the Trump administration. The U.S. magistrate judge ruled that the federal government failed to demonstrate that the undocumented migrants knew they were entering a military zone. Two of the largest cable companies in the country are set to merge. Charter Communications is the second largest publicly traded company. Cox Communications is privately run. In the new agreement, Cox will own about a quarter of the new combined company shares. And police say a human leg bone was found in a Rhode Island town, apparently about a mile from where Taylor Swift has a home. Taylor Day lives nearby.
Why are these two things connected?
They just are.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
The leg bone connected to the Taylor Swift.
Bone, yeah. Taylor Day lives nearby. She said she was driving by.
Wait, Taylor Swift or Taylor Dane?
Three police cars.
I'm sorry.
One undercover, two looked like Westerly Town police officers, and there was a medical examiner pulling in behind me.
No, that's Taylor Day. Taylor Day, yeah. Not
who
Taylor
is that?
Swift. Well, she's the neighbor of Taylor Swift. It's an all-Taylor community.
I'm out. I'm completely out. Go on. Finish. I don't know what to say now.
Well, anyway, police say foul play in this leg bone debacle is not suspected. So that's really all there is to it. I don't know how it's connected to Taylor Swift or why it's connected to Taylor Swift.
All right.
Aside from she lives somewhere nearby in this Taylor community.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you, David, for that.
You know, anytime I can contribute to your confusion, I'm happy to do it.
Done. 829 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you are thinking about buying a home, a second home, a vacation rental, a long-term rental, investing, a fix and flip, whatever it is you got in mind, you want to talk to a good real estate agent, right? And that takes experience. That takes having done it enough times that they really know what's going on. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty sell 165 homes last year, 175 homes a year before that, over 200 a year, the couple of years when it was really hot and easy in the market. And they can get you all the way through to closing. They can answer your questions, help you ask better ones. And honestly, just think through the stuff that just because you're not doing it all the time, they know how to do better. Like, that's the advantage. In fact, call her before you make a decision, not after you've decided to buy or sell, but before, and say, here's what I'm thinking about. What would your advice be? 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Coming up next, we're going to have the wrap. We got, as always, a couple of friends here in studio with me. Former city councilman Jeff Snow. It'll be his debut I think, in person on the Pensacola Morning News. We played clips, but now you get to hear from him directly. Jonathan Owens, who is a many-time repeat offender. It's always good to have Jonathan on. Former aide to Doug Underhill, chief of staff to Doug Underhill, and then also a candidate himself for district office. So we'll be talking about the news of the week, including probably UWF and the Middle East trip by Trump, and maybe Pete Rose going in the Hall of Fame, hopefully.
I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump flying home after his Peace Through Commerce tour of three Arab Gulf states, over $3 trillion in U.S. investments, and a deal in Abu Dhabi to build a massive AI data center with U.S. chips and electronics.
It's all ultimately coming back to the U.S., and they'll be doing even bigger versions of this. This is a real pioneering thing, and so many good things are going to come out of AI.
The Secret Service investigating former FBI Director James Comey for a cryptic social media post he took down, shells in the sand forming the numbers 86-47. President Trump tells Fox a child knows what that means. Kill Trump. A dozen reported tornadoes tore down trees and power lines from Minnesota to Illinois last night, and the roof of Diana Ogle's home in Juneau, Wisconsin.
When they say it sounds like a freight train line, it's like it was loud. I could feel the house.
America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 78 degrees. It is partly cloudy here this morning in Pensacola. We'll get a complete check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Escambia County Commissioners approving building several new fire stations yesterday.
So we are moving forward with the construction of two brand new fire stations, and then essentially the rehab of three fire stations, and then potentially a third brand new fire station, and then the training facility, which will be huge for our firefighters, our recruiting, and also our retention, and making sure that we have the best technology and education possible.
District 4 Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, she says the idea is to move forward with issuing an RFP in early June and break ground by around next March. She says they're able to move just a bit faster due to a progressive design and build contract. Hoffberger says the project is off to a great start. She says she's talked to contractors who say both their budget and their timeline are practical for this project. Firefighters in Escambia County will be making more money soon. The commissioner's also approving a pay raise at yesterday's meeting. That means starting wages will go up by $3 for new firefighters to $16 an hour.
And it'll take our incoming firefighters from about right now, annual compensation, 42 and some change to about 52 and some change. And
Escambia County Commissioner Wes Moreno, commissioners, again, also approving some new fire stations and a training facility. A teacher in Santa Rosa County has been arrested on child pornography charges. Officials say that 55-year-old Jonathan Burchett was arrested on Thursday. He's charged with 24 counts of possession of child porn and possession or viewing depictions involving sexual conduct of a child. He could potentially face up to 120 years in prison if convicted on all counts. The Santa Rosa County School District says Burchett has been placed on administrative leave. They're monitoring legal proceedings. Police will be holding a press conference where more information will be released. A man was taken to the hospital after a bear attack in Gulf Breeze yesterday. Santa Rosa County says the man was attacked in his backyard on Joseph Circle. He was reportedly trying to protect his dog when the bear got him in the leg.
Santa Rosa 911, do you need police, fire, ambulance?
Yes, I need it. I think I need ambulance. I need it. I just got bit by a bear in my backyard. It tried to attack my dog, okay. And I went to rescue my dog, and it bit me in my leg.
I need you to take a breath. What's your address?
It bit my leg, man. That's up.
And that man was taken to the hospital to be treated for that that bite wound. The FWC is investigating the attack. They say they're looking for the bear. If they find it, it'll be humanely euthanized. This comes as the bear population, of course, in the Gulf Breeze area, but also across the state has been increasing to the point the state's now looking at instituting a statewide bear hunt for the first time in decades. And it is 8:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment. With the new annual contract, call Insect today. No accidents to report to you. Good news on that. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Nice, beautiful, sunny weather heading into the weekend. Sunny skies on Saturday, high near 87. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 74. On Sunday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 86. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got 79 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Your next news at 9. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Your money now this morning. Our markets are no huge changes, mixed a little bit. The Dow is down 46 points at 42,276. S&P is up 5.5 points, 59.22. NASDAQ up 37 points at 14,149 this morning. 10-year bond rate down slightly at 4.398%. Gold price is down $49.80 at $31.76.80. Silver price is down 47 cents at $32.20. And crypto is up with Bitcoin up $7.70 at $103.844. Ethereum's up $78. Solana's up $4.11. Dogecoin is up just under a cent today. Well, Cox Communications and Charter Communications, two of the largest cable companies in the country, are now set to merge. Charter is the second largest publicly traded cable company. Cox is privately run. Cox will own about a quarter of the new combined company's shares. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell signaling there is a possibility that inflation could be more volatile moving forward. Speaking at a conference Thursday, Powell said the economy could be entering a period of more volatile inflation and more regular supply shocks relative to recent decades in which inflation and unemployment had remained low. Walmart says they could be raising prices soon due to tariffs. During the retail giant's earnings call on Thursday, CEO Doug McMillon said even at the reduced levels announced this week, they're not able to absorb all of the pressure given the reality of narrow retail margins. McMillon said Walmart is doing its best to keep prices as low as possible, but said the tariffs are raising costs for electronics and toys that are made in China. It's 8:37. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
The hip, the hip, hobby, you don't stop. Wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That means it is time to talk over the events of the week with a couple of friends here in studio. Jeff Snow is a first-time offender, a former city council member. I think this is actually the first time we've had you on the air. Is that right, Jeff? Is that first time?
I believe so.
All right,
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. As many times as... Yeah, well, see, I have a no-politician rule for the rap, except for sometimes during election season I'll get them on, but no newsmakers. You got to be out of the news to be back on the rap, I guess, is my way of thinking about it. So
I'm just an old speed skater now. That's my new title.
There you go.
Getting
achy,
my old body.
Core sore.
I'm getting better.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Reliving your youth.
And Jonathan Owens, I think I may have made a mistake in having the both of you on together, by the way.
Why?
Because you're like longtime friends, both from the west side of Pensacola. So
yeah.
If I say something wrong, you're going to rough me up? Is that what's going to happen?
You know what west siders are known for. So don't mess with the west side.
Hey, there's a lot of turf areas that are proud of how don't mess with them in this vicinity.
Gulf Beach Highway in the house.
There you go.
Exactly.
So, Jeff, you are an active, very active speed skater. And for people who don't know, you're good friends with the Weber Skate World, David. And it's like, this is a thing we featured a lot because I think it's such a great story. But for people who don't know, would you tell them what exists in Milton that was just built, what, 2 years ago now? Year and a half?
Yeah, about two and a half years.
Okay, all right.
It was when we started the project. So, of course, you know, America's always known for baseball, basketball, and football. But here we are the mecca for inline speed skating. And Dave Weber and Tracy Weber have put together a world-class facility there. They have an amazing skating rink, Skate World, that they have there. And next door to that is a 200-meter world-class bank track. It's kind of like, for people that can't visualize, it's kind of like NASCAR, except with a bunch of inline skaters. And they get up over 30 miles an hour, and they come in from all over the world. The Italians actually engineered it, designed it. They just came over again and recoded it again because we have our U.S. Bank Track Championships June 5th here.
Okay. And this is a, like, for people who aren't quite, if you've seen the Olympics and you've seen the speed skating that goes, that's what you have. It just happens to be outside in Milton, right across the street from Weber Skate World. And this is a one-of-a-kind facility in the U.S., right? It's the best of its kind?
Yeah, there's two or three other tracks, but this is the new engineering that World Skate designed once, because most of them were based off of roller skating days back in the old days. But with the new technology and inlines are being so fast, they wanted to make the angles a lot different on a concave course, and it's coated. So technically the way it is built, it's the latest in the world. And David Weber's working to bring the world championships here in a couple of years, and that's where we're going. And on June, this is where they will decide who Team USA is and represents Team USA for speed skating in China. And one of Dave's skaters, Jasmine Foster, has just been picked to be the only skating athlete to represent the United States at the World Games, which is later in China also. So a lot of exciting things going over there.
Just in little old Milton.
Little old Milton.
World-class skating facility, right?
But it's kind of like I relate it to Pensacola becoming the selling mecca. You know,
right, with American Magic, right?
Yeah, and I know there's some.
Or IHMC. I mean, it's all these things you wouldn't expect necessarily that are in our area that are just unbelievably cool.
And I believe it brings the cool factor to Northwest Florida, and it benefits everyone from Milton to everywhere. I mean, people come in from all over the world in January for his speed meet. It's one of the largest skating competitions in the world, and they literally come from South America, Europe, Asia, it's really huge over there. Speed skating is probably second only to bicycling over there. Hmm. So to kind of put it in.
And David funded all of that himself, that outdoor track.
David Weber just built it himself. I mean,
it's amazing.
No public contribution, just private
money. Yep, private money, and he built a world-class facility over there, and I've seen it. I haven't been out there lately since. I think they added lights recently. Yep. I'd love to go out there and watch. It's amazing to see. Like Jeff said, we've been friends for a long time. We have a couple of old friends that were all competitive skaters, you know, for the U.S. speed team back when we were, you know, before our 20s.
When it was roller skates and headbands?
Yeah, quads. and then inlines were just coming to life about that time when you were
92.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a great ride. It's a great sport. It's a family-oriented sport. We literally have one family with 12 kids that skate on our team.
Oh, that's great.
So it's something they all can participate in, and we have them as young as 2 years old out there, and then some maybe my age and even a couple older. So it's really a neat thing to be around and to watch.
It's fantastic. I think I love the project. I love that he did it on his own. I love the effect that it has on tourism and, you know, recognition for this area. And of course, people come here to skate and maybe they do other things along the way. I mean, you know, I'm with you on the, especially on the other stuff too, that we're doing American Magic and everything else. can we do 1 minute on the Hall of Fame and Pete Rose?
Sure.
Because this has been it's been percolating for forever, but finally now Major League Baseball is going to allow Shoeless Joe and Pete Rose and other members in the Hall of Fame. my position is, I say, look, it's a Hall of Fame, not a Hall of Virtue. I want Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa in there, too. They saved the game. Even with all the stuff, I think they should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, this is so long overdue for, you know, we try to judge people based on our period and time, right? The world chooses what's good and what's bad. What Pete Rose did in comparison to, I don't know, you know, Baby Oil Boy,
P. Diddy. Mean, right, all the things, right?
I mean, Pete Rose should have been in the Hall of Fame, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. I wish that it had happened during his life.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I hope they notified him before that they were.
No, I hope. I just don't think. I didn't think he never got to enjoy it. And that's part of the tragedy, too. It's it's a little hollow when it comes after they're dead. You know, when it becomes literally a lifetime ban, I don't love that. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Okay, so there's a couple of really big issues this week. One of them has been the ongoing conversation with Governor DeSantis and the legislature about eliminating the homestead slice of property taxes, like basically saying your home doesn't get taxed, so you always own it. Personally, I don't think you should ever pay property tax on anything, because why should it only be my home? I mean, the rental property is my property. Why do I have to rent that from the government on a billion-year lease? Same for a company that I might have property, whatever. The thorny issue is that every county has a different level of reliance on property taxes.
Right.
And every city has a different level of reliance, as high as 98, as low as like none in cities, and somewhere between 10 and 40% for counties. And so it's not as easy as just saying, okay, we're going to trade this revenue stream for, say, a sales tax increase, because similarly, when it comes to sales tax, we in Escambia get a lot. Holmes County, there's nobody going to Holmes County for tourism, right? So how do you supplant that revenue source? I am ideologically 100% in line with getting rid of property taxes. Practically, how we get there is the challenge. And you've a lot of experience with county government, Jonathan.
I think this is a non-starter. I would love to not have to pay property taxes, but I mean, like you just said, the machinations of each and every of the 67 counties, not counting the hundreds of cities that rely heavily on, you know, keeping the lights on in some of these towns, cities and towns with ad valorem taxes. I just don't think it ever gets there.
Could it be gradual? Could it be, you know, stair-stepped in?
Maybe if they want to, you know, give us some sort of credit, might be a way that they do it, or increase an exemption so high that you don't end up paying property taxes. I mean, like a lot of the military have, you know, they don't have property taxes, you know, depending on, you know, age and homestead and, you know,
disability.
Right. I mean, there are some people that are functionally zero property taxes.
And that was one of the talking points, is maybe let's make it a $500,000 exemption. But then, you know, like in, for example, Holmes County, I just know because they were talking about, you know, you'd have 11 people paying property taxes, because that's how many properties values over 500,000. And the other, I mean, like the property taxes, even if you believe they're justified, one problem is, okay, I bought a house 10 years ago at, you know, 250 or whatever. Today it's worth 450 or something, you know, let's say hypothetically. Somebody else comes in and I'm paying as if it's only worth like 300 because of the 3%. Somebody else comes in and buys the same exact home and they're paying on four. So the person next door to me is paying half again, maybe double my property tax, depending on how long I've been a homesteader.
Yet getting the same services.
Service year after year after year. I mean, that's nuts. Jeff, you worked in city government.
We are definitely blessed in Milton. Property tax there basically covers about 3/4 of the fire department. So depending if the world's doing well or not doing well, the services don't deplenish too much. Mm-hmm. So Milton is definitely doing it the right way.
More based on fees for Milton? Because I know that's one of the other things for city. How do you get most of your money?
Utilities.
Utilities. Okay, so fees for service, franchise fees. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the great thing about the way Milton is set up. And I believe it works. I think it would take great vision, but – you know, it's kind of like, I think you got to step out of the box and get some ideas. And you know, it's kind of what we've looked at in local government, even with what Jonathan's dealt with over here, and you're on it probably even more than we are. But, you know, Trump breaks through all the red tape and gets to it. I mean, if he could really have people work in a proactive way to do the right thing and come up with some solutions, you might not all get all the way you want to be, but you could always tweak it later and get to something everybody could live with. But I'm definitely for that.
And I'm also, I think one of the reasons we have such a large government, and by compared to a lot of countries, we don't. Okay, let's cherish what we got. But part of the problem in keeping track of the size of government is that there are 1,000 different ways government takes money. You know, it's all these little tendrils in all these different places, whether it's a business licensing fee or a business rental tax, or you know you pay the local option gas tax on top of the national tax. You know, it's all these things, and I just, as a comprehension matter, I would like us to have kind of, this is the tax, you know, it's a 30% sales tax, okay, and that's the only tax we pay.
Yep.
And now we really know what the cost of government is.
In every transaction covers the taxes, right?
Right. Instead of this little here, little there, hide it under all these nooks and crannies, and then who can even tell what the cost of government is anymore? I mean, you can look at the $800 million, but nobody understands that. You know, but you understand that, you know, your gas is double because you're paying for government, if it were. You know, that's it's a simplification matter to me. But so you think it'll never happen?
I don't think it'll happen.
Oh, man. Here's what I do worry. I do worry that, because if you put it on the ballot, don't you think it passes like 70%?
Oh, I'm sure it would pass. But again, you've got to get past all of the
But, you know, people, because if you ask the average person, would you rather not pay property tax?
Yes, is always
going
to be the answer.
Yes, obviously.
Sure.
How are you going to fund government? Ask me later.
Right.
Yeah. Right, that's going to be the...
Kind of how we got the Children's Trust.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. And, of course, in Santa Rosa County, you want a tax? No. No, I don't think so. We're not going to... So, and I was actually a little bit discouraged that they... One of the comments by Toby Overdorf, one of the representatives in talking about this, was... Counties and cities need to learn how to spend less. And that's, in theory, a fine thing to say. But in practice, all the council members and commissioners that I know are, I mean, yeah, there's waste, okay. But there's, I mean, they feel like they're drowning. Like there's no way to keep up with the cost of inflation and wages, and every project costs double what it did 6 years ago. And now you're telling them to live on less. And, of course, what that means for me as a constituent is, well, less services. Right?
Right.
You know, less road paving, fewer deputies, you know, that's what I look at. So find a replacement mechanism and I'm fine. I just hate property taxes. The other big story for the week, UWF, Martha Saunders, the hostile takeover of the board.
Why is it hostile, Andrew?
Unwanted by, or who wants it?
It changes difficult, right? I mean, you know, the conversation of, oh, well, We don't want wokeism. We don't want wokeism. Well, when someone says, okay, we don't want wokeism, and we're put somebody in the hot seat, I mean, pendulum swing in politics, right? I mean, you have Biden to the left and Trump far, far to the right in theory.
Or wherever Trump is.
Or wherever Trump is on the spectrum right. of whatever day. But it's not unexpected. I mean, DeSantis showed us with New College that, hey, This is where I'm going, and he's doing it here with UWF. Why is he doing it? I don't know. Did it have to do with recent races and, you know, a Democratic, you know, quote unquote win with Ballamont here in Escambia County? Did that have did that have something to do with it? Did it have to do with Trump and his win? And did it have, I mean, there's a lot of issues that neither you nor I know why he's doing that. But I think, you know, it's going to be, change is difficult, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the sudden.
And you graduated UWF.
Yeah, I went to UWF. And I mean, God, that was, you know, a long time ago. Over 5 years ago. And was the school different then? I don't think that I was paying attention to, you know, how liberal or how, mm-hmm. you know, conservative things were. You know, it's newsmaker, right? It's something for us to talk about this morning. But, you know, we'll see what ultimately shakes out. I don't think it's going to be, you know, catastrophic that we need to save UWF. I am a little confused by Dr. Saunders resigning after one meeting, though. I mean,
well, and people have raised that question. I think there's a lot of factors went into it. I mean, she may have already been on the verge of retiring anyway.
Maybe.
But it could have been done as a statement. Okay. It's possible. Could have been done as a, I'm going to get in the way of this university going forward, and I've already done a lot for it. Lots of possibilities. And I'm sort of philosophically, I'm on board with the governor. I like the changes to tenure review. I like the changes to eliminating, creating balance in the university. It's just that UWF isn't the problem child compared to a lot of them that are, you know, having taught the university level. I mean, UWF leans left, the culture at least leans left, but it leans left a little compared to where I've seen it much worse at other places. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, but the other places DeSantis doesn't have an influence over. I mean, this is DeSantis has an influence over UWF. So, I mean, this is an opportunity for him to make a stand. And remember, DeSantis is the end of his term.
Yeah.
He's going to kind of do what...
Well, and he's definitely a dig in and, you know, you're gonna push back on me. Well, guess what? I'm going to push back three times on you.
Hold my coffee. Hold my beer.
I'll get Jeff's thoughts on this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free and delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to hamper your way in. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Jeff? We got Jeff Snow and Jonathan Owens here in studio with me. Former city council member Jeff Snow. Your thoughts on the UWF?
I hadn't overly followed it, but I know people are tired of our universities being so political. I mean, it's all right to have discussions, and I believe everybody's point of view is should be taken in. But when it rises, as you said, not UWF level, but some of these other colleges are just radical and allowing, you know, follow the law. It's real simple. Protest peacefully and get your point across. As far as rushing buildings and keeping your face covered, you don't have to cover your face if you feel right about what you're talking about. So I wish institutions would be more about just teaching and what the kids are there for. And like Jonathan mentioned years ago, we didn't even think about liberal or conservative viewpoints a whole lot in there. But
at that age range, you know, we're worried more about, you know,
girls.
You're worried about the rat. You're worried about Raskella.
Yeah, the rat.
And
girls and beer and cars and, you know, all of those things.
And, you know, one of the things about this is that having seen the universities from the inside, having been a teacher, I can tell you that it is an element of our society that is captured by the left heavily. You know, being a conservative on campus is very, very hard, especially at the instructor on the instructor side. But again, it's just this wasn't the problem area. It was, you know, I don't know personally very much about, you know, UF, UWF, UCF, USF, but I am sure without knowing that they would be the places to start. If you're going to really reform this, if you're going to fix this, that would be a better use of the time and effort instead of, you know, coming in and renovating the place that the locals love, that doesn't have the scope of the problems, that doesn't even focus on the humanities where the real issue is. The real issue is the humanities, right?
I agree.
It's not in nursing. It's not in
cybersecurity.
Engineering and cybersecurity.
Right.
It's really in the humanities, and we're just not a humanities school the way a lot of these other big universities are. So last question for the day. let's tackle this one quickly. Trump went to the Middle East and seems to have announced a massive change in the United States' approach to Syria, Iran, cultivating relationships, giving compliments, taking gifts. Optimistic? What do you think?
It's something different.
He promised he'd do something different.
Yeah,
he did it in his first term with Israel, right?
Yeah, he's doing something different. It's interesting to see the reactions to, you know, Trump. Either you love him or hate him or have somewhere in the middle of it. But, I mean, it's, you know, like Jeff was saying, everything's so polarized as far as politics go. You're either far, you know, you either hate Trump or Orange Man bad, or, you know, it's, you know, he's hung the moon. Mm. So, and like,
and I'm both on a given day,
right? which is, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know, you follow, you know, what you
whatever
care
the
about.
Issue
yeah,
is,
whatever the issue is, the number of Engines on planes, though, that was entertaining this morning.
Hey, if only we had four, that's better than three.
Hey, leave Trump alone on that. Hey, we got to have something to argue about.
Yep,
absolutely. Well, Jeff Snow and Jonathan Owens, as always, thanks for being here. Jeff, great to have you on for the first time.
Thank
you. Jonathan,
appreciate
great to have you on for many times. Go Argos in general.
Go Argos.
Let's hope for the best as wherever this all shakes out. Let's hope for the best. Thanks for the time, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.